Sunday afternoon, the bus brought us back to Alkmaar, where I had left my bicycle at the depot. Grietje lived in the next town to Witte. I wondered what my chances were of persuading her to ride along with me on the back of my bike. It would be a wonderful opportunity to have her uninterrupted attention. "Can I give you a lift home, Grietje? Save you the bus fare?" Grietje pursed her lips, and I could tell she was weighing the disadvantage of having to ride with me against the price of the bus ticket. Finally, she shrugged and climbed onto the little jump seat at the rear of my bike. I gave Corrie a wink and pushed off. As soon as we were out in the country, I intended to face Grietje with her need for God. But to my astonishment, the clear command that came this time was, "Not one word about religion. Just admire the scenery." Again, I could scarcely believe I was hearing correctly, but I obeyed. During the entire trip, I did not say a word to my captive about religion. Instead, I talked about the tulip fields we were passing, and discovered that she too had eaten tulip bulbs during the war. When we got to her street, I actually got a smile from her. Next day at the factory, Corrie met me with shining eyes. "What on earth did you say to Grietje? Something terrific must have happened." "How do you mean? I didn't say a word." But sure enough, all morning long, Grietje didn't crack a dirty joke. Once, Amy dropped a box of chocolates. It was Grietje who knelt down and retrieved the pieces. At lunchtime, she plunked her tray down beside mine. "Can I sit with you?"
"Of course," I said.
"You know what I thought," Grietje began. "I thought you would high-pressure me into making a decision for Christ, like they said at those meetings. I wasn't going to listen. Then you didn't say a word. Now, don't laugh, will you?"
"Of course not."
I began to wonder, does Andrew think I've gone so far there's no turning back? Is that why he doesn't bother talking to me? And then I began to wonder if maybe I had gone too far. Would God still listen if I said I was sorry? Would he let me too start all over again like those kids claimed? Anyhow, I asked him to. It was a pretty funny prayer, but I meant it. And Andy, I began to cry. I cried almost all night, but this morning I feel great. It was the first conversion I had ever watched. Overnight, Grietje was a changed person. Or rather, she was the same person with a tremendous addition. She was still a leader. She still talked all the time. But what a difference. When Grietje stopped telling smutty stories, many of the other girls stopped too. A prayer cell was started in the factory, with Grietje in charge of attendance. If someone's child was sick, if a husband was out of work, Grietje found out about it, and woe to the worker who didn't put some money in the hat. The change in this girl was complete, and it was permanent. Night after night in my loft bed back in Witte, I went to sleep thanking God for letting me have a part in this transformation. That factory was a different place, and it came about through obedience.